Hello, friends. Welcome back. This is the second hour of Out of This World Radio International with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting from the studios of KKNW in Bellevue, Washington on 1150 AM. The program focuses on Out of This World information, including psychic phenomenon, UFOs, and predictions for the coming years in Seattle, the United States, and beyond. The purpose of this program is to raise consciousness to make this planet a better and happier place to live. We will have only the best psychics and UFO people and others on our program, and I guarantee it will be the most interesting radio program you've ever listened to, as you will hear information here that you will simply not hear elsewhere. We are one of the top-rated radio show programs in Seattle and also are the fastest-growing psychic and UFO program in the world with listeners in over 60 countries. We're continuing during the first hour. We had an interview, the rest of an interview with David Icke, live pre-record from London, followed by Lindsay Hepp and Michiko Hayashi of the Emoto Peace Project in Tokyo, Japan. And they've stayed on the line, and I wanted to give them both an opportunity to say the final words from their presentation before they're doing some wonderful work. And Michiko, I'd love to have you say some words to wrap up your presentation, please.
Well, thank you so much. Well, I really enjoyed talking about Emoto Peace Project because the more people are aware of how much our consciousness, our thought, our intention affect not only ourselves, but the environment. So the world will change for the better. And it's the more opportunity I have in this program, the more people can listen to it. So, well, thank you so much. And I hope this world will be better and better soon.
Well, Michiko, you're doing a wonderful job. And I just, on behalf of all my listeners around the world in the United States and elsewhere, and also off the planet as well, I just want to thank you so much for all your efforts with the Emoto Peace Project.
Well, thank you so much for helping us, too. It's been wonderful. Thank you so much.
Well, I want you both on again real soon. And Lindsay, I want you to go ahead. Feel free. My guest for the second hour has been delayed, so I'd love to have your final thoughts as well. And feel free to talk as long as you like. I'll let you know when my second guest comes on.
So. Thank you so much. Well, I just thank you for, giving the Peace Project, the space, and in creating awareness and what you're doing. And that's one thing that, through the tours and traveling with Dr. Emoto, people are really touched by the visualization of what our thoughts and meditation and prayer and just basically Hado, which is a Japanese term for vibration, it's pretty amazing. And so I guess I'm also grateful for, I just want to take this time to say what I'm thankful for is Michiko, who's been working with Dr. Emoto for a very long time. And now that he is no longer with us, which most of you know that he passed away in October, she is going to be, running our global director and, heading the Peace Project. And her heart is directly connected to it. And I'm really grateful when Dr. Emoto appointed me. Actually, I'm celebrating this week with the solstice on 12-12-12. We were in Merida, Mexico, and we went to the temples there, and we had a Hado instructor school. And he was really focusing on how we were coming out of the era of the gold and materialism and into the era of water and connection. And that was why he was kind of appointing people around that were active and connected to it. I was very honored. And basically, the more we open our hearts and connect and share the information, we're empowering ourselves. And that's really important.
I have to tell you quickly, Lindsay and Michiko, that if I'm not mistaken, Dr. Emoto also treated many thousands of patients using his love and gratitude techniques and was able to successfully heal them without expensive surgery and drugs. Is that?
Yeah, well, he was using the MRA device, which is like a homeopathy. So he would basically scan the patient for information and give them the information that they would need back in using water. And he actually found that technology in the United States, and he had someone had given him water that cured helped him heal his foot. So he was basically helping people create resonance in their body where they did not have it or needed it. And this is, vibrational medicine is definitely the medicine of the future.
Well, that's fantastic because there was a, I had a program on this a few weeks ago with God, with Craig Campanzano, who had come out with a recent film called Stranger at the Pentagon, and that film documented the true story of an angelically created being called Valiant Thor, who lived at the Pentagon from 1957 to 1960, after he met President Eisenhower, and Valiant Thor offered President Eisenhower the spiritual technology to eradicate all disease from this planet and all poverty. And I think part of what he was offering President Eisenhower back then in the late 50s was precisely what Dr. Emoto was doing with his patients and this love and gratitude healing techniques. And I think that this is our future, that we're destined to become a much more happier planet and a much more beautiful place to live than we currently are. But your work is so important, and I just want to thank you so much, both of you, Lindsay and Michiko, for coming on today.
Oh,
well,
thank you
you
so
much.
Well,
truly appreciate you.
My pleasure. Well, I'm going to have you on again very soon. And on behalf of all my listeners in the United States, Canada, around the world, thank you so much for coming on today. And thanks again for doing the work that you do.
Ted, love and gratitude. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much.
Arigato, which means thank you too in Japanese.
Arigato.
Arigato.
All right.
Thank you.
All right, my
arigato.
Friends.
Thank you very much. Bye.
Great.
Thank
you so much for coming on. Bye-bye. Bye.
Thank
That was Michiko and Hayashi and Lindsay Kemp of the Emoto Peace Project coming to us live from Tokyo, Japan and New Jersey. And now we have Robert Potter on the line from California. Robert, are you there?
I am here, my brother, Ted.
That's so nice to hear your voice. I know you tried to call a little earlier. Our first hour interview ran a little bit longer, but I apologize for that.
No problem. I was listening to your guest. We have lots of things in common.
Oh.
Number one, I was actually in Egypt inside the King's Chamber of the Khafre Pyramid on December 12th at 12:12 in 2012 with my friend Cobra there. Also, I worked very closely with Dr. Lynn Horowitz in 2009. I think it was actually 2010, right around the swine flu propaganda scare there.
Mm-hmm.
And we had Mr. Emoto come over. We did a worldwide water blessing.
Nice.
With the 528 love frequency.
Nice.
And also, of course, as you know, I was very close to Dr. Frank Strange's and the Stranger at the Pentagon.
Oh, sure. Well, Rob, before we go any further, I just want to just give a quick biography of you so my listeners around the world know a little
sure.
bit about you. You've been researching healing and consciousness for over 40 years, and you've given seminars all over the world, including Egypt, Canada, Europe, and the United States. And you have a weekly radio show on Revolution Radio called Victory of Light at www.freedomslips.com from 8 to 10 p.m. New York time or 5 to 7 p.m. Los Angeles time. You have another show on www.pyramid1.com. Is that meter work? Is that right, Rob?
It's one word, Pyramid One Network.
Oh, okay. Okay, I couldn't read it very well. On Thursdays from 7 on at 7 p.m. Eastern Time and 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And then I also will be on your Victory of Light radio show this Sunday from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Seattle Time at www.freedomslips.com. And I have to tell you, friends, Rob is one of the most interesting people I've ever met. You knew Dr. Frank Strange's and the Venusian commander Valiant Thor. Could you tell us a little bit about that? I know you have lots of interesting things to say.
Sure, I absolutely will. First of all, I would like to announce also, if you go to my website, for those of you who are home or maybe listening to this later, it's www.thepromiserevealed.com.
Okay.
I'm also very involved with another website there called prepareforchange.net. You can check that out. But I'm very excited to announce I've just put up our modified banner, and the information details aren't up yet. But, ladies and gentlemen, I've invited Ted Mars, this wonderful host, this great emissary of love here, sharing the truth, to my Mount Shasta conference. My Mount Shasta conference will be taking place August 19th through the 23rd in Mount Shasta. This last year, I did one with Andrew Bartzis, and 2 years ago we had 45 people. Last year, or this summer actually, I had James Gilliland, Andrew Bisaggio, Robert Ferrala, Michael Legion, Byron Belitzos, Alfred Remember, Bob Weber, and Tricia McCannon, and we had 153 people. We're growing to a larger location, and Ted's going to be there August 19th to the 23rd. On my homepage, there's a slider banner. You can see about the, you search my website, you can see about under events, it will be up there, about last year's conference and how that went. I also have the DVDs available on a Christmas special, like we'll have next year after your presentation, Ted.
Wonderful.
But if people want to go up there shortly, they'll be able to check all the banner links, and the information for the Shasta conference will be up. So I'm really honored and excited to have you. We're going to have Omnek, the woman from Venus.
Her wonderful first, lady.
Her first show, and, of course, many others. Alex Collier is coming as well. So,
An incredibly interesting fellow. He's an incredibly interesting fellow. A contactee of the Andromedan civilization, isn't he? I think from the Andromedan galaxy?
Yes.
Wow.
I think it's Andromedan constellation as opposed to the Andromedan galaxy. There's both. But, I'll be checking with him. I've been, in contact with him. He's gone through a lot of things in his life there. But yeah. I guess I should go back to Valiant Thor and Dr. Frank Stranges, who I met originally in 1980 or so.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't really become close with him, but around 2003, 2004, I was really drawn to his work. I remember as a youngster always interested in the name Thor, the comic books, really, for some reason, just I was really into it. And, of course, Dr. Frank Stranges, the famous book Stranger at the Pentagon.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go to my website stuff, and especially in my the DVD we did, we talked a lot about Dr. Frank and Valiant Thor. Dr. Frank was a unique individual, extremely personable, extremely gentle. He came from a biblical and a kind of a preacher background, but he was also a Secret Service agent in the, counterfeit. And he also had access to some generals there and pounded his fist and said, what's going on with these UFOs? And his desire for truth was so strong. When Augie Roberts sent him pictures of Howard Menger's lawn showing Commander Valiant Thor, Vice Commander Dawn, and one of the senior females called Jill, he carried that picture and eventually met Valiant Thor at the Pentagon. And that's a very long history where Eisenhower was offered lots of help from our space family, which he formally rejected, sadly enough, and the government continued their association with what I'll call some hostile extraterrestrials, which, of course, Alex Collier's and many others, Cobra, myself, talked about.
The reptilians, yeah.
Yeah.
Fascinating. Well, I know that Valiant Thor, it's just a fascinating part of history, and most people just don't know anything about it. I know when Craig Campisano was on a couple weeks ago and he discussed his film, it was just an incredible part of history that I'm glad that it's coming out now. You know, I had Susan Miller on in April on earlier this year. She's one of the world's best astrologists live from New York City. And she was saying that this year, Rob, would be a year of truth, that things that are true would become truer and more self-evident, and those that are false would people would realize they were false and fall by the wayside. And the important thing about your wonderful work, Rob, is that you are bringing truth to the world and expanding and raising people's consciousness about what's going on and really going on. And I really appreciate that. You have some wonderful, wonderful programs, and you have a wonderful conference coming up in Mount Shasta. And I'm excited. I'm really happy that I'll be going. So I just want to tell you thank you.
And I want to thank you. It's an honor for me to come to your conference in Gig Harbor in March, and I hope to meet many of your listeners and answer many questions. And to what I think I do, what I bring to the table with my 40 years of UFO contact experiences, starting with Fred Bell mm-hmm. and the Pleiadians at the age of 16 to 17, through the future is a long-term, broad perspective view. Mm-hmm. Which has prepared me to be able to answer the questions that so many people have in regards to the ETs. And the number one is, why aren't they prove and show themselves? Well, they've been here before, so we've never been alone. We're not alone now, and we never will be alone. Right. However, the situation is quite complex, and I'm going to recommend they go to my website, Prepare for Change, and COBRA's portal, and many others, to get the background of the hostile ET situation that's very involved deep. But basically, I will say that the Earth has been held hostage. We are under a type of quarantine process, which the benevolent extraterrestrials are seeking to heal the, let's call them totalitarian, tyrannical type individuals who mm-hmm. have been holding our planet hostage. There are groups of ETs, that are hostile to us, and I'll have to say they're in a formal arrangement and agreement with the U.S. and world secret government. They all have national security type features, and there's a collusion amongst them all, which is run through primarily finances and a very advanced, which Scott Lemrell talks about, an implantation process,
sure.
which works on humanity through a subconscious so that we sense something's going on, we never know, and they control the media, so there's misinformation.
Right.
But they have off-world treaties where we're sending off minerals, all kinds of hardware and technology to them in exchange for a pittance of technology from them, which is being hoarded and secreted by an elitist group that is actually so implanted with a nanotechnology, it's like a movie. At the same time, this situation needs healing.
Well, Rob, I have to. I'm sorry to interrupt, my friend, but I just wanted to footnote what you're saying is very profound and I think very true. I have a lot of listeners in Australia, and for those living in Australia listening to this program now, there is a place in the middle of the country. I think it's near Alice Springs, where the U.S. military has a military base, and I'm told that a lot of the resources from Australia are secretly mined and sent off-world to these reptilians as part of this secret agreement.
Yeah, that place is called Pine Gap, and I'm going to give a shout-out down there, Australia. I'm actually half Australian, and I was conceived in a boat near Dalkeith on the Swanee River in Perth. My father was Australian.
Really? Fascinating.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
Been there many times and would love to go back and share the Victory of the Light stuff down there one day.
Well, what a beautiful area. I lived in Perth many years ago. I was on a scholarship there.
Yeah, we were over there in Dalkeith, and we used to go to Cottesloe Beach, was our local beach there.
Cottesloe, lovely area. I've been there. Very pretty area. Very pretty.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't mean to get off track, Rob, but continue. Please continue. This is fascinating what you're saying.
Well, my experiences with Dr. Frank Strange is in the I had different key experiences, of course. For those of you who follow my work, and I have lots of radio shows, and I also have interviews done by me. And you can read the transcript that was on Coast to Coast 3 times about a military guy that actually came to confirm some of my experiences through a gentleman named Gabriel Green, a very famous contactee, who told me to come to his house. And there was a guy who was working in the government. This is post-Eisenhower, of course, 70s. He was working as a mind control, what we call a Delta Blue Beret, and was working deep in the underground military base. He broke his mind control programming through a car accident, which kind of shifts the mind control.
Mm-hmm.
And after 2 weeks, he decided to quit. He told them he knew what was going on. They threatened him with you know, death and stuff. And they told him he's going to jail. He's going to be fine. He'll never see the light of day. He said, fine, send me. Then they offered him the honey trap, full bird colonel perks, and to work, continue working, not under mind control. He said, screw you. And the ETs broke him out of jail, and he goes around as a messenger. He was sent to me by an ascended master named Hilarion, who had a telepathic communication. Gabriel Green called me, and when I hung up the phone, he said, can you come up? There's a teacher. I said, who? And he says, I don't know. They just told me he's coming, and he'll be here. And I said, sure. I hung up the phone, and the ETs put a beam on the phone. It sounded like a fire alarm at one of these, so-called a TikTok market, a very small convenience store back in the day in Palm Springs. Everyone was looking at the phone. I picked it up. It echoed like it was literally coming from outer space. And I took that as a...
my God, amazing.
What Gabe calls is an affirmation from the brothers and sisters upstairs to take notice. And so I did arrive with Michael Legion, Frank Chile, some other people. And this military guy took me out into the desert, and a UFO landed 35, 40 feet away from the four of us. Gabriel Green, Michael Allegiant, the military resistance movement member who I owe a debt of gratitude, called Jim. He showed me many things about the implantation process and explained many things to me about which are kind of coming true and relevant in my life in the last year or two. It's a long, long wait for that. But that physical experience I really needed for my out-of-body experiences to integrate. And I literally turned my back. I had a telepathic communication with a female who I believe was Semyasi.
Oh, Semyasi. I've heard about her a lot from Billy Myers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, there's lots of stuff going on there between him and the Fred Bell thing. A lot of convoluted information, and I've never met Billy, but when I was 17, I was getting contact notes from Wendell Stevens.
Oh, yeah.
Was mailing them to us. When I was 17, they'd come in the mail, and Fred goes, here's the latest contact notes, and I sat down. I would voraciously read those notes, and so...
Fascinating.
It was coinciding with our experiences in Laguna, where the ships were coming in repeatedly into the building and stuff. Yeah.
Interesting. I just want to make a quick station announcement. For those who are just tuning in, this is Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting from the studios of KKNW here on 1150 AM. I want to thank everyone for listening. We're having a fascinating discussion with Rob Potter from the Mount Shasta area of California on his fascinating UFO experiences. And for those who don't know about Billy Meyer, he's a UFO contactee. He's been in contact with the Pleiadians since, I believe, 1942. He lives outside Zurich, and I have visited his home. Actually, I visited his home back in 1994. Fascinating area. But go ahead, Rob. I didn't want to interrupt too much.
Well, there's so much going on. You know, I'd like you to take the questions. I can go in a long-winded diatribe. For those of you who listen to my radio show and others, sometimes I take over. I really would be happy to hear any questions from you or your guest in particular. I can tell you, at Gabriel's house, I went through a process, which I call the identification process of the ETs, where I became aware of their technology, their ability to see, and their absolute spiritual integrity and discretion to not violate people's free will or privacy, utilizing their technology. I had witnesses around me who observed UFOs and had various encounters through my life. They're not important. Just, I'm not really interested in the phenomenon of a bigger car, although the time-space capsules and how they're built and how the technology behind them is absolutely fascinating. For instance...
Not to interrupt, but I just wanted to make a distinction that not all ETs, extraterrestrials, are created equal. There are some good ones, and there are some bad ones, in my opinion. And the good ones you're talking about, I just wanted to make that clear to my listeners that you're talking about benevolent ETs.
Absolutely. There is a small section that is in a, kind of a hostile situation. That stuff is detailed through Corvus Portal, Blogspot, and prepareforchange.net. We get into that kind of stuff. But for the most part, it's absolutely beautiful, harmonious, and there is several different groups out there, multidimensional alliance of free worlds. There's, you know, we might call them the Confederation, whatever. There's different groups, and they're all exchanging information. Mm-hmm. Now, we have to understand there's also dimensional frequencies. For instance, there's different planes of existence. We are on the physical plane. Mm-hmm. The Venusians actually live on the astral. If you go to Venus to see Commander Valiant Thor, mm-hmm. you would only be able to see possibly one temple, which is called the City of Rats, and it's actually both a physical and an astral temple. It's kind of a doorway there for different beings. And they live in a different frequency and have a different type of reality. And they actually see 360 degrees. They have a corporeal reality to themselves, which they're unique in.
Really? So you can never sneak up on one? They would see you coming up?
No, they have a great sense of humor. They're tremendously affectionate. Dr. Frank Strange has told me about his many trips aboard Commander Valiant Thor's flagship, Victor 1, which is located in Las Vegas near Lake Mead, and I know exactly where it is. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to toot my own horn here. He told me just before he passed away, within days, he said, "Rob, Commander Valiant Thor said you're the only person to actually find the resting spot of Victor 1."
I just wanted to say, Rob, so Valiant Thor is still on this planet then, is that right?
Absolutely. Valiant Thor is part of the Solar Council's mission to planet Earth for the Venusian representatives, and he works, he's an Elohim, he is a created being, not born of a woman. He appeared on Venus one day. And in my conference DVD for Christmas, if you buy that, you can hear I read exactly what Valiant Thor, he describes about his life there before he was given his mission. And, you know, I'm not a secular religious person. Uh-huh. I'm a spiritual person. Uh-huh. But there are different teachers and masters, and they all generally are speaking the same truth and different aspects of it.
Well, Rob, not to interrupt again, but do you have his phone number? Could I give him a call? Would he like to come on the show? Do you know?
Yes. No, that's not how it works, and I'll explain that. But he had a commission from Jesus Christ to monitor the Earth, and he has 12 ships at various locations, and I've read them on my previous radio shows. But
okay.
And there's a book called Spacecraft Over Earth. Each of these ships have two sister ships that exist in the astral plane, so there's immediate response, and there's no possible physical interruption in their service, or no government agent, or no negative force could ever do anything with the Venusians' astral plane. Civilizations are higher than the physical. Mm-hmm. The Pleiadians are a physical civilization. So spiritually and vibrationally, the Venusians would be considered far in advance of the Pleiadian culture. And it's not a matter of better or worse. We're all equal and divine in our soul light bodies. We're expressions of the divine source, and there's really no difference or value, higher or greater. It's a question of more or less, and it's a different aspect. Valiant Thor, and I'll give you a demand that took place by Bobby Kennedy, an unfortunate experience which preceded Dr. Frank Strange's first physical contact on board the spaceship with Valiant Thor.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Dr. Frank told me many, many stories, which I share in my seminars and and stuff, about what happened privately with him and Valiant Thor that he didn't reveal generally to the public. But one of them was, it was a year after he met at the Pentagon, when he first saw him again, and Valiant Thor materialized in the back of his car. He almost crashed. He was scared to death. He says,
"Oh, really?
Yeah, he said, "What the heck?" He says, "Next time, can you just call me or, you know, here's my phone number, you know." And they had a different way, but oftentimes you would materialize in Dr. Frank's office.
Oh, wow.
And in 1968, he was well known because he got past the Pentagon and a security. President Johnson, who was in on Kennedy's death and actually took Fort Knox Gold and gave it to the Queen of England under the Rothschilds and the Vatican orders a long time ago.
Really?
Yeah, called him to his place, and the Secret Service took him in. He goes, "How the hell did you get past security?" He was kind of hostile to Dr. Frank, but Dr. Mm-hmm. Frank was protected many times from death by these hostile forces, and those are interesting stories in themselves. But
sure.
I'd like to share the demand that Bobby Kennedy made when he came to Los Angeles right before he appeared and passed away mm-hmm. at the what's the name of that hotel?
Ambassador Hotel.
Ambassador Hotel.
Right.
What happened was, is Dr. Frank was sitting there, and he lived in a cul-de-sac there in Chatsworth, and he said the limousine pulled up a whole entourage, Secret Service, cops, you know, the big old parade that they do for security for a presidential candidate. And he opens the door, looks out, sees all the neighbors, like, jaws open, taking out the trash, mowing the lawn, like a TV show, Lady in Curlers peeking behind the curtain, what the hell's going on? Mm-hmm. And Bobby Kennedy gets out, comes, knocks on his door, and doesn't say hello. And a lot of people did this, and he always told this in his inner circle meetings. He said, "Dr. Strange?" And he goes, "Dr. Strange, it's..." And he goes, "I'm Bobby Kennedy." He says, "I know who you are, sir." He goes, "Come on in." They took him to the hallway, and he didn't say, "Hello, how are you? Nice to meet you." He said, "I want to know about this Valiant Thor. He can know about Valiant Thor. You can contact him. I want to know where he is right now. I want to talk to him. I want to go kill my brother."
Really? Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. He said to him, "Well, listen, I don't really know where he is. He contacts me. It doesn't work that way." He goes, "But if you write a letter, he will get it from me." And by the way, folks, it would just dematerialize, or occasionally Valiant Thor would pick it up and he'd just hold it and he'd know what it was. But
amazing.
He says, "Well, I don't have time to write a letter. I can't do that." He goes, "Well, I'm sorry. I can't do anything." He goes, "Sure, well, whatever the Valiant Thor." He goes, and he felt kind of rude and hostile.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit, you know, typical kind of a power guy, but...
Well,
you know,
he'd lost his brother, and he probably was, unfortunately, he transferred some of that anger to Dr. Strange's, but go ahead.
Probably. And the Kennedys weren't saints. They were using mind control sex slaves, and they were part of an inner circle elite. Their family earned the money through drug running, and they were insider trading in stocks and power and mm-hmm. all that stuff. But they turned the tides. They didn't, when they realized the ET situation, the finance, and that the government was dealing heroin out of Vietnam and dead soldiers' bodies called the Gray Line, they decided the stakes were too high and they go into the truth. He wanted to end the financial control. That's what really got him killed there. But it was kind of orchestrated through a secret system. But anyway, so he said, he goes, "There's nothing I can do. If you don't want to write a letter, you can leave." And he said, Bobby goes, "Well, okay, I'll write a letter." And so he went down, he wrote a letter. Mm-hmm. And he asked him to seal it so he didn't know what it was, and he did.
Mm-hmm.
And he left. Now, Valiant Thor took the letter very shortly after, which is gone from Dr. Frank's desk. And later, the day he died, he contacted Dr. Frank and picked him up in his water car. They have a car that runs on water, which relates to Judy Beebe and the gem spheres on my site. And the lady's talking about water is the new thing. That's very much very true. And that's another interview. But
fascinating.
So he gets in the car and they start driving down to Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And in this way, he's telling us, "Yes, I met with Bobby Kennedy." And he goes, "Well, what happened?" He says, "Well, he was deeply suspicious. I told him who killed his brother. And I advised him that he shouldn't run this year. There are powerful forces aligned against him. But if he ran in 4 years, he would most likely be successful."
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And he said he took him into, they were probably in the ambassador, whatever hotel he was staying at. He said they took him into the bathroom, turned on the water in the bathtub and the sink, and put a radio in there while they talked. He was very aware of monitoring and bugging, and just assumed he was bugged when he was talking to Valiant Thor.
Sure.
So that was Bobby Kennedy's private, the counterintelligence technology of the day was run water and play music and stuff. So anyway, after that conversation, Valiant left. And so here they are the day Bobby Kennedy died, and they're driving down to Mexico, and Dr. Strange is with Val in the water car that, you know, by the way, at the they want to push a button, they become invisible. He told me some humorous stories where the government officials had followed him from Las Vegas when Valiant Thor picked him up at the, used to pick him up at the hotel there, the Rio and Las Vegas, and the agents would follow them, and they'd go down a little blank alley, and they'd turn to make the car invisible, and the agents would freak out, and they would be sitting there watching them and wait till they left.
That's funny.
So they're in this car, which is, you know, always kept immaculately clean, and just drives right up onto the spaceship, the lower thing, and they have a full hangar of cars and motorcycles and everything, I'm sure. But he said he drove down to San Felipe, and they got a little boat. And I used to go down there a lot myself. And if you just go around the if you're looking at San Felipe from the main area, when you come in there, that first little thing, it's changed a lot these days, but used to be nothing out there. And if you look across, there's a little peak. And he said they took the boat right around a little thing, and all of a sudden, it looked like an outer space. All of a sudden, you could see inside of a door, and the door was, like, right there. And they just he just stepped up, and he was inside the craft. But everywhere he looked at it, it looked like he was looking at sky. All of a sudden, like a doorway, a portal opened up, and it's into the ship. And they do have this ability to bend light around their craft. They are can blink into a higher frequency and literally disappear from the physical plane. Dr. Bell explained that process, that they accelerate the mass of the ship and go into the astral plane. And then, of course, they can, you know, just go so fast you wouldn't see them. Boom, they're there, and they are gone. Wow. So he stepped up into the ship for the first time. And he said what happened is you go through, he kind of described it like wading through mud, I think, if I remember properly. Mm-hmm. It's a magnetic field. You can't see it, but you take your clothes off and you walk through this kind of mud feeling type of, it's like a magnetic field. It decontaminates you and probably renders your implants neutral.
Good.
Yeah, and so he went in there and they put on a white suit and the computer talks to him, what size are you? Programmed to the personality of the vice commander Teal. It's a female, and I'll give another joke out that he did. He says later on when he goes, what size are you? Now he says, oh, I'm a 40 waist. The computer says, in your dreams.
How funny!
It a 44 or something.
You know, so anyway, let me tell you real quick, there is a Star Trek episode many years ago where there was a computer that was programmed to have a female voice, and the computer got out of control, but it was kind of like the same thing. It was making all kinds of funny jokes on the Star Trek.
Yeah, there's an interesting technology around that, and I can explain that whole computer technology of the sentient conscious to a certain extent. Mm-hmm. It's basically tied into the etheric Christ consciousness grid or universal spirit energy. We call it Christ. They have a different name for it. Mm-hmm. But it basically can't go against the universal laws or principles, so there's never any worries of Skynet or anything. There is, it can be manipulated and used in a negative way, but when they connect into that situation, it cannot.
Wow.
Anyway, so he goes on board, he puts on a white jumpsuit, and he goes to this table where most of the crew, the senior crew, is gathered, and they have a holographic technology. He was a member of what they call the Council of 12, six Earthlings and six. There's many Councils of 12, by the way, folks. But on this particular crew, he was a member of six Earthlings and six ET members who were overviewing the world situations on a regular basis. And they would look at this big round table, and in the middle be the world would pop up in a hologram, and they would just zoom in and look at any world situation live or what's going on or the history, literally like a movie, at 360 degrees, anything. So they were watching the Ambassador Hotel, and they were all watching him, and when he went down, Vice Commander Teal, he said, she shouted out, may God help him, and she turned away as he was shot.
Oh, wow.
And Dr. Frank said that the bullet that actually killed him came from a sheriff who was trying to protect him and to shoot Sirhan Bisara Sirhan. But I'm not sure if that part was true. It may have been like the sheriff who was planning to be the final coup de grace, and Sirhan was the fall guy.
Yeah,
but
sure.
Most people don't know, but he did have a heavy implanted crystalline chip in his head, which renders him absolutely a Manchurian candidate on that level.
Wow.
So if you demand to see Valiant Thor, it doesn't usually happen. A person of Bobby Kennedy stature did get a response. Mm-hmm. But Dr. Frank used to have us write out letters. And if people want to actually write me letters, I probably need the physical ones, but I'm actually going to make a journey there, and I never had a direct communication contact with Valiant Thor, although I think I met him with a group some years ago. Mm-hmm. They did not announce themselves, but I believe that's who they were, and that's not uncommon in some of my contact experiences. But
well, if people can write you a letter, or I could write you a letter, even
The problem is I don't know if it would get responded to, although
that's
they
fine.
Could probably do a signature on know where the letter comes from, and in some way you may have what's called a night class. And this is a very common way of them giving information to us, is in our deep sleep in the astral plane above the earth outside the confines of what I call the electronic fence matrix, which is a joint government hostile ET force of suppression on the human biofield consciousness. Your lower personality body frequency is jammed so that the spiritual energies from your pineal gland and your divine self consciousness are blocked. And it's only above the Earth's atmosphere or from very powerful individuals or in certain controlled environments that we can be free from these negative influences. Now, we are divine beings beyond our bodies, and this there's nothing that could block us from this if we are able. However, it's extremely difficult, and that's why we have the benevolence here. We've been here ever since the, let's call it kind of the invasion of these hostile groups that came in and sought to pit civilizations against each other, which ended in the sinking of Lemuria. So there's kind of a long storyline there, and exactly the truth of how it all goes is definitely up for debate and question. I probably have a little more educated, broader perspective, but to be honest, I have never witnessed these Akashic records or been able to talk to ETs directly for any length of time that I can remember. One time I was beamed up and I watched them erase my memory, and I feel it was a positive, benevolent experience, and I hold on to that as an important point in my life.
Wonderful. Rob, I just want to make a quick station announcement for those who are just tuning in. This is Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting from the studios of Bellevue, Washington, here in the United States, in North America. We broadcast on 1150 a.m. On Friday afternoons from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. Seattle time, which is U.S. Pacific time. You can always listen to us live during this time at www.1150kknw.com. Or afterwards, you can always listen to the show at www.outofthisworld.com. Rob, I'm sure you have some information on this, but I'm always interested in the future of humanity. Personally, I think the future of humanity is very bright on this planet, but I was wondering if you had any information regarding from your contacts and friends regarding the future of humanity.
Well, I don't have that kind of general contact. I need to be real clear. Well, I have had telepathic communication, which has coincided with physical sightings, and very rarely do I get extremely detailed downloads of what's going on. Usually it's private information. It's a rapid-fire exchange of images, and I just know something and see something. It's not often that it's like, I've only had two that I have to say three times that I feel I've been actually talking to an ET, and it was kind of like Cheshire Cat smile. We know, yes, and we're not going to answer, and I was kind of blocked from answering questions. I can't do a Jedi mind trick on you, but it's part of a gradual connection there, and it's probably for my safety as well as theirs, I guess. I have no idea of all that stuff. I'm still a big student there, but I will say, I kind of digressed. Could you say the question again?
I was just wondering if you might have any...
The future. So here's the story on the future. It's always in change and flux. It's a fluid model. The Pleiadians, if you follow through with Billy Contact Notes, or the ones that I read, they would go in the future. If you said, oh, Billy, you want to go with us? We're going to do a future probe. And they would go in the future, and they'd drop a device somewhere on the Earth. And then they'd go and drop another one, the same place in this time. And then when that time came up, they would go there to try to get the readings and see what timeline was going on, and things were changing.
Oh,
as well as even the Pleiadians, they had no clue about this coming thing. The Andromedans, Scott Lobdell information of the new ray seems to coincide with Alex Collier's thing, where they're saying things are changing, never happened before in the galaxy.
Yeah,
and
sure.
It seems as though there's always been a plan and an idea that a certain time and space here, certain energies could be shifted. There was a general timeline that was from like 2000 or from, you know, 1950 to 2025 that certain things were supposed to happen. Mm-hmm. Now, those are plans. Men make plans and God laughs. So there have been different flies in the ointment, and the different Federation and Alliance forces are constantly counteracting these very crafty, very intelligent, highly technologically evolved beings. There's very few of them who they themselves wish to remain hidden. And the ETs, they don't want a hot war here. They don't want, you know, spaceships battling like in the Mahabharata. And it can happen.
Sure.
It's a very real possibility.
Sure.
So they don't want that. So they're content to fight behind the scenes and do their work for us. That's a tremendous amount of patience and spiritual maturity.
Mm-hmm.
They can always overwhelmingly control these guys, but it would be a forced situation that would cause loss of life. The planet could explode into a billion pieces, and it's not worth it. They're doing a very delicate operation on multiple dimensions, inserting into, we live in a holographic reality, and there's so many things that we can't even begin to comprehend. It's a complex operation, but the sense of peace and knowing this is that it's a done deal. The planet, you know, I mean, even if they have to evacuate the entire planet and it's exploded, there's always continuation of life and soul, but we're giving very competent reports that there's lots of progress taking place in the removal of these criminals, and the underpinnings of their financial power on Earth is very key to them. Mm-hmm. And also their advanced scalar wave network, which exists in physical and actually beyond the physical, where no human could raid that area and take down their technology. We actually require the assistance of our benevolent space family in a divine intervention process. So the future is bright. There are planned revelations. Apocalypse means revelation, folks, of the truth. That will take place in a series of intended actions of education of the public of the truth of what's been going on for thousands of years.
Sure.
Yes, we have been genetically altered, and as Scott aptly points out, how can we who barely live 100 years compete with beings who are running agendas thousands of years, who live thousands of years in one body?
Sure,
it's difficult.
That's true.
So
that's true. That's very, very true.
All these things have to be taken into account, and you can just go down a rabbit hole of endless speculation.
Well, I personally just want to add this to what you're saying, very profound. I agree with you all there, Rob, but I also want to say that I agree with Nostradamus, who back in the 15th or 16th century France said that by the 2030s, 2040s, that humanity on this planet would be embarking on 1,000 years of peace and spiritual progress. It would be literally a golden age. And I think we're starting that process early. And I also think after that time, Nostradamus was right. He said after this 1,000 years, we would become a space-faring species, much like Star Trek. But I'm looking forward to those days, to our children, children's children, and children's 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 children, that they will have a far better and far happier life than now. Sure. But I always think that you have to keep remaining positive, and instead of looking at a glass, for example, as being half full, instead of being half empty, to look at it as always as half full. I'm not a doom and gloomer. I don't think our future is bleak at all. I think we have a wonderful future ahead of us.
Well, I use that exact same wording myself, Ted, and I sense that in our meetings, I'm really the same way. No black paper hangers or doom and gloom scenario here in my DVD set. I'm going to send you that at the Shasta conference, I hope you'll enjoy that.
Oh, thank you. I really would. Thank you so much.
Yeah, and I know time's coming to the end, so if I could, you know, thepromiserevealed.com, folks, check my banners. I've got some great info up there if you're new to me, and I'm looking forward to meeting you, and do tune into my show, www.victoryofthelightfreedomslips.com. It's actually freedomslips.com, Studio A, this Sunday from 5 to 7. We'll be interviewing Ted Mars. And he's going on the other side of the microphone to share his insight and wisdom.
Well, you're so kind, Rob. I really appreciate that. You have to go on, you on the air now at 4, is that right? Do you have another radio show?
I do have an interview with Alfred Lamont Weber coming up at 4 o'clock, so it's a busy day. I don't normally get this many interviews, but I do have an interviews page, and these will be archived on my page as well, too. So,
okay.
Yeah, the future is bright. We will have love and peace in our hearts, but we need to focus on this. We need to stop looking at the television and filling our feeling natures with hopelessness, despair, violence, and a false agenda and a false portrayal of what's really taking place. Realize that they really don't care about you or your bodies, and the people in ultimate control, it seems suicidal, but that's not really them. They are more advancedly controlled. You look at their pictures, their eyes are glazed over. There's a whole technology that many of these innocent victims, I believe, like Pelosi, Cheney, some of these guys, they're as bad as they get. They need to be arrested. And if there's a possibility, some of them could actually be a hostile ETs in Earth bodies, even from birth through reincarnation or through a abduction, push the real soul out and take over that body. That's a very real possibility. But either way, they need to be stopped and arrested and somehow the situation healed and resolved, because we can't just have this continuing to go on. So I believe that that's the plans for the benevolent forces, is to completely liberate not only this planet, but some other planets and situations that may be going on as well, to simultaneously gather these unfortunate victims of a technology which has created extreme negativity, and to heal it once and for all.
I want to tell you really quick, Rob, I had Len Kasten on a week ago, who's written a book called Secret Mission to Planet Serpo. And in that book, and a very significant little footnote among the first pages, I'll share it with you, that these reptilians had actually destroyed 21 other planets just in this galaxy using the same techniques and the same technology that they're using here on Earth. What their thing is, they come in and offer some technology to the elites. The elites buy into it, and in exchange for that, the elites get corrupted and, most importantly, controlled. They no longer have their free will, and eventually, once the reptilians have got the resources and the things that they want from a particular planet, they simply destroy it. But I've been told that's not going to happen here. But we can go into more on that on Sunday.
It's kind of been happening here in a sense. Mm-hmm. What happened is, and that's why we have to take it very serious, and why we have to have patience and respect of the multidimensional help that's here in the wisdom in keeping this from the general public and not from any panic and all that stuff, because once the jig is up for these guys, they will blow the planet up on the way out if they can get out.
Right.
It's intended that that doesn't happen, but it's a heavy-duty, high-tech chess game in that regards.
Right.
Now, I will say that the planet's situation is looking better, and I really do think that we can look forward to eventual disclosure on this through prepared information. It's coming out heavy. We're seeing Russian secret files. All these different real ET pictures are getting on the net. So
sure.
They're appearing more and more all over the world, where people visit, seeing them at a small town, large ships just hanging there.
Rob,
you know, thousands of people.
I hate to interrupt, my friend, but we're getting close to the end. I just want to make a quick announcement and give you the rest of the time. My friends, I just want to thank you so much for listening to Out of This World Radio International. We're broadcasting from 1150 a.m. here on KKNW. A week from today, we will be having a very, very special program on angels for the first hour, followed by an hour of the best of Out of This World Radio with some of the most interesting segments for the year. Tomorrow morning, if you're around the South Center area in South Seattle, I will be at Half Price Books from 11 to 10. If you'd like to stop by and meet me, I'd love to meet you all. And I hope you all have a wonderful weekend. And again, thank you so much for supporting this program and for listening. Together we can make this planet a much better and happier place. And with that, my friend Rob, just go ahead and please, you've got about a minute, a little less than a minute left.
All right, well, I just want to, again, thank you for having me on here. And folks, I want you to know that, we have to have peace. We can't use violence. We can't use the same tools that they have. And we can't, like, force these guys out. We could never overcome them technologically. We have the powers of awareness, truth, nonviolent resistance like Gandhi and Martin Luther King, steadfastly, intelligently protesting for a specific action and not moving until it happens is one way to make things happen. Another is through sharing the information in faith and love and not falling into fear.
Okay, Rob, you have... Okay, thanks so much, my friends, for listening. Bye-bye. Have a wonderful weekend.